Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Steve Kenyon Podcast. I am Steve Kenyon. We are highlighting the American Rodeo that is coming up this weekend. That is our Classic Equine, Classic Ropes featured interview. We'll talk to one of the in-house announcers, two-time PRCA Announcer of the Year, Garrett Yerrigan, coming up. And we'll take a look at some of the highlights that have happened at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo in Houston, Texas. That is all on the way on the Steve Kenyon Podcast. Today's show is being sponsored by Wrangler. Long live Cowboys. Thank you to the Justin Boot Company, the standard of the West since 1879. Our friends at M2 Ranch Jerky, every day we get a little bit closer to M2 Ranch Jerky hitting your store shelves. Check out the new website, m2-ranch.com. m2-ranch.com. Read some of the endorsements from guys like Mitch Pollock, who are talking a lot about how good M2 Ranch Jerky is. Thanks to Unbeatable Feeds. You can find Unbeatable Feeds. Just click on the dealer locator link at unbeatablefeeds.com. And to the folks at Resistol, we wear it every day. If you checked out the Resistol Rookie of the Year race and the bull riding, there are some young bull riders doing real well. The number one bull rider in the country in the PRCA is Jeter Lawrence. He's 18 years old from Oklahoma. He's already won $30,000 this year. He made a 90-point ride in San Antonio, and he is currently 14th in the PRCA's world standings. You can find all of that, of course, at prorodeo.com. We start today at the Lazy E Arena in Guthrie, Oklahoma. Paul David Tierney, the champion of the timed event over the weekend, the Cinch Timed Event Championships. It ended on Saturday. 3 days, 5 performances, 25 head. You head a steer, you rope a calf, you heel a steer, you bulldog a steer, single steer roping, and that happens 5 performances in a row. Paul David Tierney has now won 3 titles at the timed event, $388,000 in his career at the timed event. Only Casey Jones and Trevor Brazil have won more money than Paul David Tierney. He is 1 title away from matching his father, Paul Tierney, who's won 4 timed event championships. His brother, Jess, has also been a timed event champion. Walked away with $104,000 out of the timed event championships at the Lazy E. Our thanks to the Lazy E Arena's Facebook page and to Drew Stewart talking with Paul David Tierney about winning the timed event.
Fucking you boys earned it this week.
That ain't no kidding. You run a head and steer, and you got to earn it there too. It's not always like that.
Yeah.
From head and steers to tripping steers, bulldogging steers, it was the Iron Man this week.
It was. I told this story yesterday. Casey Jones was sitting right here, and your dad was sitting over here on the panel, and they were talking, and didn't know anybody could hear him. And I was listening to him talk, and they were. It was during the calf roping on that big pin, and they were like, did we ever rope calves this big? And it was pretty funny to listen to two of them go, no, man, this is they're big. Like, this whole week was big. And to hear those two guys that have been there, done that, say it, and then everybody coming up here, man, I'm telling you, what a week.
Yeah, they were. That big pen, they were large. And when you end up winning it, and you can say you drew good. I drew good in the big pen, and it was a blessing right there.
Yeah.
I didn't have the big ones, and I had some good calves there.
Yeah. Well, man, I tell you what, like, you and your brother both, you guys are just cut out of iron. You work so hard at it. Talk to me about getting ready. We've talked about this in the past, but I want to know, what do you guys really do to prepare for this? Let's talk about yourself physically, and then let's talk about your horsepower.
Oh, shoot. I know he works out and stuff. He's he gets after it. I just stay busy all day. I'm riding horses. I'm calf roping on young horses. I'm team roping, tripping on young horses. So I feel like I'm getting my workout all day long. And
yeah,
it's tough out there all day. So it kind of transitions here. We just keep it smooth, and that's what I do.
Yeah. Are you doing all the? How much bulldogging are you doing during the year?
Oh, I hurt myself a few years ago. Hurt my shoulder doing too much, and. Mm-hmm. Since then, I just go shoot dog and get the feel back, and then hopefully getting off the horse just comes right back to me on that first one. It was a little rough this year, but we got through it.
Really? So you're not jumping any before you come here?
No. But I did it all through high school and college.
Sure,
so
sure.
I've done it, and I did it before, but just ever since I tweaked my shoulder and then it went into summertime hurting, I'm going to do my 5 here and get off and – or do my shoot dog and call it good.
Paul David Tierney, the now three-time champion of the timed event at the Lazy E Arena in Guthrie, Oklahoma. Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, they are heading toward championship weekend, March 17th, the final day at Rodeo Houston, completely through Super Series number 2, finishing Super Series number 3, and getting Super Series number 4 started this weekend. Among the top performers in Super Series number 2, very first time to Houston, saddle bronc rider Shea Fournier, the college champion a couple of years ago from McNeese State. He won $6,000, made an 86-point ride to win the first performance of his Super Series, 86 and a half to win the third performance. He talked to us about it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I was glad to be there. It was a heck of a show.
Tell me, let's talk about it horse by horse. Go round number one of your Super Series. You got on Legacy Pro Rodeo's Vain Reflections, made an 86-point ride. Rider Wright was behind you with an 83. Tell me about that horse in that run.
Oh, you know, I've heard a lot of that horse. I was super excited to have it. Everyone said, man, that's the one you want to have. I talked to the stock contractor before the rodeo, and he said, man, you go do good on this horse. This is the one you want. So, and it worked out great. We matched up really good.
Performance number 3, you got on Calgary's Why You Are Frisky, which is a horse that's been around a while, and made an 86.5-point ride. Same question. Talk about that horse.
Yes, sir. Same thing. I talked to some people about it. We knew it was a good horse. Funny thing, it was my first Calgary horse. I didn't realize how big them Canadian horses are, but, man, they don't miss a meal. They're kind of intimidating. They run in the chute, and their backs even with the top of that slat. But, man, what an awesome animal, and that was a heck of a matchup.
That was your first Calgary Stampede horse?
Yes, sir, sure was.
Wow. So talk about that a little bit. You talk about how much bigger they are than maybe some of the other horses that were there, and what'd you feel? What Why You Are Frisky feel like?
I sure felt the power. As long as I was moving my feet and staying in rhythm with her, it was good. It was fun. It was a rocking chair. But if you watch right after the whistle, whenever I D up and try to think about getting off of her, she let me know that she had other plans, and she kicked me right off of her.
What? How many times have you been to Houston, Shay?
This was my first year.
And you won $6,000 already and made it to the semifinals. Nice start in Houston.
Yes, sir. I believe so. Yes, sir.
What's that arena like? What's that rodeo like?
I tell you what, that's one of the best rodeos I've ever been to. More or less, just because of the history of the rodeo, you know, my dad and my uncle have both won Houston. My dad won the bull ride in 1988 and in 1995. My uncle won the all-around there, I believe, in 88 also. He's won the all-around there twice, and I think the bull ride once. You might have to fact-check me on that. But point being is that I was confident there. That's kind of almost like a hometown rodeo almost, you know. My family has been there. They've done good there. It just boosted my confidence and said, hey, I'm going to be the next one to do good here. Yeah.
Shea Fournier, who won himself $6,000, has advanced on to the semifinals out of Super Series number 2 in Houston. Leslie Smalligo, you might remember, she qualified for the National Finals Rodeo in 2022, rides a horse off the racetrack called Gus. Second time she's been to Houston. She told me the first time didn't go so good. The second time, really well. She finished second, third, and first in her Super Series, about $250 ahead of Donna K. Rule, who's also from Oklahoma. Here's Leslie Smalligo talking about Houston.
Yeah, I was pretty excited about that. I mean, everybody loves Donna K. How can you not? She's a rock star. She's like a mom to us on the road. And, you know, there is not one bad thing you can say about Donna Kay.
Yeah. So I asked you before we started this about previous years in Houston. When you qualified for the NFR in 2022, you really did it at the second half of the rodeo season. We were all, you know, picking on you about being the girl with the hair on fire because you, you know, went and dyed your hair all the weird colors and had all that fun with it. So this was your second time to Houston, right?
Yeah. Last year was my first year. It didn't go as planned. Thank God that we get paid for autograph sessions, because that's the only money I took out of there. But this year I had my head on straight. I trusted Gus. I trusted the system, and I knew what to expect this year.
Tell me about Gus. Remind me of Gus's story.
I got Gus off the track as a 3-year-old. I started training him a month after I started him off the track. He went straight to the barrels and went straight to the 1D. And, you know, he's just been an outstanding athlete. He's been my best friend. there is not a bad thing you can say about him. He is just so easy to get along with. He's so easy to have on the road, and he absolutely loves his job, and he will do anything to win.
Let me ask you about training a horse off the track, because the skill set of barrel racing is completely different from the skill set on the racetrack. And I don't know that I'm trying to think if we've ever had a horse off the track in our program. I don't know that we have. Are there any little quirky things you have to fix with track horses, or was that even an issue with Gus?
No, it hasn't been with any of them that I've gotten off the track. I've had a full brother to Gus, and then I've had two half brothers to Gus, and they've all been really, really good to come off the track. They don't have any quirks other than being, you know, annoyingly friendly, and you know, I have a four-year-old. I swear he has ADHD, and you know, all he wants to do is love you.
So, that's funny.
You know, they're so athletic, and they've been seasoned because they've been to all the racetracks. They've been around the people. Nothing bothers them. And being as my background, I used to train Western Pleasure, English, and reining. Hmm. I put that into all my barrel training, and it just kind of, they get it.
So you are a Western Pleasure, English, and reining horse trainer taking race horses off the track, qualifying for the National Finals Rodeo as a barrel racer. Have I got it all right in there?
That's all right.
You know, the fun thing about that to me is there have got to be things you can bring in from all of those different buckets of knowledge and experience that you can pour into the mix to really make good horses out of it, I would think.
Yeah, you can really teach them how to bend their back, move their rib cage, sit down on different types of dirt and really sit down and know how to save themselves. You know, their headset, you can move them whichever way you want. And with Gus, I just ride him in a Hackmore because I just stay out of his way. So once they have that confidence and they know their body and their feet, it's smooth sailing from there.
Tell me about barrel racing at Rodeo Houston. I understand why they do it because of the location of the concert stage, but they're putting a 14-second barrel pattern onto a football field. I mean, the barrel pattern could literally be almost as big, if not bigger, than the Pendleton Roundups if they wanted to. That's how big that facility is. Tell me about running in Houston. The barrels are not close to the wall. You told me before we started it's a blind start. What's it like to run in Houston?
You know, it's a very long alley, and it's hard to hold your horses up if they're used to just tearing down the alley. So I kind of have to side pass Gus down to hold him. But as soon as you hit the buck and shoots, you hang a tight right, and there it's right there, and the timers are right at the gate. So it's a lot different than a lot of these barrel races and rodeos where you have a long score down to the first barrel and you can really set it up. So in this setup, you really have to need a horse that is broke, that does not go off fences and lets you place them where you need them.
There is more to both of those interviews with Shea Fournier and Leslie Smallego. You can find them on our 8 Seconds Media YouTube channel. Super Series number 3 wrapping up in Houston this week. Super Series number 4 and 5 still to go, and then it's on into the semifinals at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. This weekend is a big weekend in the world of professional rodeo. Shea Fournier, he's running back and forth between Houston and Arlington, Texas, where Globe Life Field is located, because he's competing on Saturday at the American Rodeo. Got a chance to win $1 million as a 23-year-old college kid. We will talk to Garrett Yerrigan along with Anthony Lucia, one of the in-house announcers at the American. That's coming up on the other side of this timeout. Today's show is being sponsored by Preferred, number one in ranch and rodeo, by the Grandview at Las Vegas, the place we stay during the Wrangler NFR, dailymanagementresorts.com. Our classic equine featured interview, Garrett Yerrigan, coming up on the Steve Kenyon Podcast. The countdown is on to true traditional cowboy jerky, M2 ranch jerky. Beef, buffalo, elk, and venison all mixed with unique gourmet flavors. Bull Rider Justin Houston says, thank you, M2 ranch jerky, for keeping me going down the road and keeping my hunger satisfied. Learn more about M2 ranch jerky and see what the cowboys say on the brand new website, m2-ranch.com. That's m2-ranch.com.
Hey y'all, this is Cody Johnson. When I was starting out in music, most every radio station and venue I went to told me no. At that point, you got two options: tuck tail and quit, or buckle down and fight. Well, I'm a fighter, not a quitter. And that's why I wear Wrangler jeans and shirts. Their toughness and style are legendary. They're an iconic symbol of the West, and there's no quit in them either. Life's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And if I'm gonna enjoy the ride, I'm riding in Wrangler. Wrangler, long live cowboys.
Cowboying is in our blood. Cowboying is in our bruises. It's in our rain-soaked jackets. In our calloused hands, tested by barbed wire and rope. Our mud-stained boots to the crown of our Resistol hat. You live out west for even the shortest time, and there's one thing you learn. You can't pretend out here. Resistol. We live it every day.
The Steve Kenyon Podcast, one of two podcasts we produce every week. We hope you'll join us on the Legends of the Hall podcast. All you need to do is go to 8secondsmedia.com, click on the podcast link, and you can find both the Steve Kenyon Podcast and the Legends of the Hall podcast. This week on Legends of the Hall, we highlight the 128th edition of the Daddy of All, the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo, July 19th through the 28th, with the CEO of the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo, Tom Hersig. We hope you will join us. Like and subscribe both to the Steve Kenyon Podcast and the Legends of the Hall podcast from 8secondsmedia.com. Speaking of the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo, the young man you're about to hear from is the in-house announcer in Cheyenne, two-time PRCA Announcer of the Year, and along with Anthony Lucia, who was the Announcer of the Year in Pro Rodeo in 2023, the voice of the American Rodeo, which will take place on Saturday at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. Garrett Yerrigan joins us. This is our Classic Equine, Classic Ropes featured interview. Classic Ropes, success is in your hands. Classic Equine, play to win. We are Classic Equine. Garrett Yerrigan joins us to talk about the American Rodeo. Western weekend, Globe Life Field, Arlington, Texas, getting ready to play host to two nights of what has become one of the premier events in all of the world of Western sports. Joining me is the two-time announcer of the year in the PRCA. He, along with Anthony Lucia, the voices of the American. I say that because it always makes him blush a little bit. Garrett Yerrigan's joining us. Garrett, thank you. I could also say Garrett Yerrigan from Texas, knowing full well that the Oklahoman comes out in you sometimes when I say that. How the heck are you? It's good to visit with you.
I'm doing great. I'm just glad that you didn't introduce me as the former tractor driver at the American.
You know, you really have. Okay, I was going to go there, so I'm just going to start there. When the first time I ever met Garrett was it the first year of the American? It was one of the first years of the American.
Yeah.
And you were announcing Big Long Slacks. I was doing Big Long Slacks on the radio. Remember you and I sitting next to each other in the little outdoor arena right behind what is now the Drover in Fort Worth, and doing you were announcing a steer wrestling slack, and I was on rural radio broadcasting it until midnight, and then you were driving the tractor during all of that too.
Yeah, I forgot about the steer wrestling slack outside. Yeah, that was boy, look how far we've come, Steve. That was back in the day.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. What this has morphed into, and the opportunity you and Anthony have this weekend. Saturday night, I was there a year ago. That place was full, Garrett. It's got to be electric to have a chance to have that many people in your ear all night.
It is, and that is probably the question I have been asked the most from fans or industry colleagues, professionals, whatever, is, man, is it really better in the baseball field than it was the football field? I said, yes, for me, for my opinion, definitely better. And I'm not dogging AT&T Stadium at all. They were great hosts for right. 9 years. But for our sport and the realistic attendance numbers, much better house in Globe Life Field. You know, 35,000 last year sold us out in Globe Life Field.
Right.
35,000 any year prior to that was a third full. So,
right.
You know, just the theory of relativity and looking better and sounding better acoustics, you know, you fill a house up, it sounds better than a third full. So yeah. And such great hosts, Globe Life Field, Sean Decker to Anthony Barkowski to, Chris Dereicher and on down the line. I mean, their team is so hospitable and so welcoming. Rev Entertainment, their entertainment partners there. They truly make us feel welcome, not just another tenant.
Yeah. You know, for folks who were 2020, we remember the year that the NFR was at Globe Life. They didn't set up the arena the same way. It didn't look to me like last year, but the way that it was set up, it was genuinely a fan friendly environment. I mean, it was a good setup, I thought, for the arena.
Yeah. And I don't want to give all the trade secrets away because I don't know exactly when this is going to air. Expect a little bit different form or arena configuration this year. Not much. I mean, the main integrity is going to stay the same, but a few little things new here and there. But still, yes, very, very competitor friendly, very fan friendly, because sometimes when you get those big arenas like we had at the NFR in 2020, it almost washes out the competition a little bit.
Yep.
It was still a great rodeo, don't get me wrong, but sometimes, you know, animals will track further, the scores are longer, you know, all those intricacies. But I think what Prefert and the American and Teton was able to put their heads together and learn from the NFR and, you know, take forward just, you know, having a year of rodeo or having a rodeo in there and knowing how to make it better and stuff. I thought they really have a really good setup for both fans and contestants.
A year ago at the American, just to remind everybody, Jackie Crawford in the breakaway roping, Ty Harris in the tie down roping, won $600,000 apiece. That's $100,000 for winning the event, and then they split the $1 million side pot. The champions of the American last year, Casey Field in the bareback riding, who has had great luck at the American, Tyler Wagyusback in the steer wrestling, Caleb Driggers and Junior Negata, you got to watch some of the most successful athletes in the history of the American last year win. Casey, Caleb and Junior, Lisa Lockhart won the barrel race. Stetson Wright, remember, set records in both the bronc riding and the bull riding, winning both events on the same night. That had, in my memory, that had never happened before. No, it was a great show in 2023.
Well, not to mention all those things you mentioned, but also add in the ride-off between Dawson Hay and Stetson Wright.
I forgot about that. I mean, yeah.
Gosh, I mean, the whole night, from what you said to right there, that little add-on piece, you could not – Hollywood could have not scripted a more dramatic and exciting night of rodeo. I mean, I'll be honest, when that ride-off was – well – when the score's tied,
yeah,
and it's, I mean, everybody on the announcer stand is just chaos. What do we do? Is there champions? What's the tiebreaker? I mean, they're just going like rats running around down there in front of me. and they're all like, it's this. And no, it's this. And I was it. And I finally said, everybody stop for a second. I'm not telling these people anything until somebody tells me in my, like, eye to eye. And I want you to say it twice to make sure that I understand, because whatever I tell these people is going to make them go nuts. And so then all of a sudden I heard somebody say, I think they ride off. And I was like, holy cow, that's awesome. I hope that's what happens.
Yeah.
And finally, James Miller turns around and he's standing right there in front of me and he says, ride off. And I said, say it again, James, ride off. And I was like, okay. And I'll never forget that moment of when I got on the mic. I said, okay, folks, the verdict is in. And it just went hushed over the building because everybody was just hanging on that moment. And I said, they get one more bucking horse. Whoa! I mean, the whole place just here, because that's sports. That's drama. That's, you know, like a shoot-off for the Stanley – or a shootout for the Stanley Cup. I mean extra innings in the World Series. I mean, all of those analogies, overtime at the Super Bowl this year. You know, that's what makes sports dramatic is the unknown and the unpredictable. And you got two of the most infectious personalities in bronc riding with Dawson Hay and Stetson that obviously there was you know, the controversy and the drama of, you know, the actions, you know, whatever. But man, I mean, what an exciting moment for our sport.
I was okay. So I was one of the people sitting in the stands, Garrett, when that was all going on. So here's the perspective I'm going at it with, because having been, you know, behind the scenes, my wife and the people around me are looking around, and my wife says, "What do you think they're going to do?" I said, "I think they're going to have a write-off." And exactly what you said when you guys announced that that was going to happen, because it was a minute or two.
It was. Yep, it was.
When you guys made that announcement, people slid to the edge of their seats. It was fun to be in the crowd and listen to people respond to that possibility. I guess that happens in Calgary. They'll have write-offs. I don't know that many other places where that happens. So it's unique.
It is really neat. And I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of it as much as anybody, we get so caught up in bang, 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 get the rodeo over with, get on to the next thing. But there are extenuating circumstances like this. Mm-hmm. When you have an opportunity to create a moment that I will never forget, and I'm sure fans, there's probably some fans out there also. And even for Stetson and Dawson, win, lose, or draw, that's a moment you may never forget. Just in the moment, and one more horse for $100,000, and you know, all the implications. I think that's a moment when we all need to check ourselves and go, I don't care. Throw the timeline out the window. Yeah. This is freaking awesome.
Yeah. Put the stopwatch away. We're going to have some fun right here.
Yeah. And this is what sports is about.
It was a great write-off, and that was the other fun thing about it. I did an interview with Dawson's brother, Logan Hay, a week ago, and Logan is one of the guys who's eligible to win the million this year. And I said, so what are you going to do when you win that million? And he said, well, we'll see if I have a write-off with my brother this year. So wouldn't that be kind of an adventure?
Hey, that you thought it was dramatic with guys that weren't brothers for, you know, only $100,000. Imagine what it'd be guys that are brothers and one of them could win a million.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What do you remember over the last couple of years of, you know, we talk about that write-off last year, and obviously that is a major highlight to you, but you started with the American back at Global or back at AT&T Stadium several years ago. This is how many for you now, Garrett?
So I won't give you the long version of my employment history, but the short version
is... It started with driving the tractor, folks, and him being so nervous he couldn't stand it during the barrel race at Cowtown Coliseum.
That is a true story. Yeah. You think announcing in front of 35,000 will make you nervous? Go drive a tractor at a barrel race if somebody could win $1 million.
Yeah, in front of 300 barrel racers in the process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I have been on the microphone there every year except one since 2019. So what would that be? Six minus one, five. I was on there 2019. I was the what we call the third man in 2020. Then I was the red hat for production in 2021. And then I've been back on the mic in 2, 3, and now 4.
Yeah. There is nobody that I can talk to. You just brought up the red hat thing. There probably is nobody that I can talk to of among my brothers in the rodeo announcing business who have got their thumb on the pulse of good production the way that Garrett does. And I mean that as a compliment. Garrett grew up in the announcing business and the production business. His dad, Dale Yerrigan's a longtime man in charge of the IPRA you know, there are stories about Garrett Yerrigan announcing slacks when he was 7 years old. I mean, that's Garrett's history. But the production elements of this rodeo, there are about a million moving parts behind the scenes that you and Anthony have to manage to make all of this work. It's not the simplest rodeo on the planet. There's a lot happening that probably none of us ever see that you guys are in front of.
I remember last year, Anthony and I, we were in that building I think we were in there at 9 a.m. and we were in either a meeting or rehearsal nonstop until the show started at, I think it was 6 o'clock start last year. By the way, 3:30 p.m. start this year on Saturday. Just throwing that in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. Last year, I mean, just meetings to and rehearsals on top of meetings, rehearsals. And yes, it is mentally draining. Obviously, it's not a physical, you know, exhaustion, but it's a mental drain because you have to just be so tuned in for so long that, you know, when it's all said and done that night, you just like, oh, you know, you're just numb almost in your brain. But at a rodeo like that, where you've got so many pieces from video to lighting to audio to competition to live television to in-house video to pyro to, I mean, scoring time, all the facets. Plus you throw in a side of the business that's never seen rodeo before. Like last year, our lighting and audio and pyro and like the production elements, they had never seen rodeo before. So we had to take some time to explain just terminology and how the sport works and things like that. And even again, this year, there's some new players involved. Matter of fact, our executive producer owns a company called Fuhrer Productions. His name's Michael Fuhrer. And he just got done producing the Super Bowl, legitimately wow. producing the Super Bowl. So those are the kind of connections that we have now in rodeo and in the American. And he openly, I mean, from the first time I shook his hand, he said, hey, I know production. I know the Super Bowl. I know those kind of things, but I don't know rodeo. So that's why I really need you guys to help me there. And he's been super great about asking questions and never once has he acted like he knows everything or holier than thou. But that's the kind of stuff that, yes, it's mentally exhausting, but that's the stuff that intrigues me. Like if anybody knows me well, I'm a rodeo nerd.
Yeah.
I love the video and audio and production and how it all happens. Like I love to build shows and see it all come to fruition. And when I'm sitting in my computer a month before the rodeo and I'm looking at this on paper, I love to close my eyes and think, okay, now after we do this, I want to do this, but can I do this? Because I got to come in this gate when they're leaving that gate and, you know, all the logistics of putting a show together. That's the stuff that kind of makes me happy and, you know, oddly satisfying, I guess. but don't get me wrong. I still love announcing rodeos. I'm not quitting anytime soon. So don't anybody get any ideas.
you saw that look I just gave you, didn't you?
Yeah. But other than that, man, the production. So when I get to go be a part of Fort Worth or Cheyenne or the American or, you know, whatever, when I was fortunate enough to help with the national finals in 2020 in Arlington, man, that's the stuff that it scratches that itch every once in a while and just really makes me stay sharp in my mind of what can I do better as an announcer to help bring every rodeo I do to the next level.
What can you learn from a guy who comes from outside of rodeo, but has done events like the Super Bowl? I mean, he can walk into a rodeo and he's going to learn rodeo. I've got to believe that we can learn some things from him.
Hands down. And that's why I'm such a fan of going to other sports. As a matter of fact, I was just having this conversation a couple days ago. I love going to NHL games, MLB games, NBA games. I've never got to go to an NFL game yet, but I want to. Mm-hmm. Whether you like the sport or not, whether you can sit there and watch them throw balls or hit balls or shoot balls and hoops, whatever, like if you'll just let your mind look at the big picture, look at the fan experience, the lights, the sound, the mascots, the game hosts, the activations, the promos. Look at the big picture of what they're doing for the fan. Because think about this. You go to an NBA game, and they're only playing, 48 minutes.
Right.
There's 48 minutes of contest. But you're there 2.5 hours.
Yep.
So what are they doing to fill a 2.5-hour window minus 48 minutes with engaging content that makes people want to come back night after night? I mean, what makes somebody want to be a season ticket holder? What makes somebody think, man, I have saved up for 6 months, I'm taking my family, we're going to the NBA game,
yeah,
versus watching it at home? So that's where, you know, they're so lucky because, let's use the Mavs, for example. They have how many home games? Hundreds or you know, lots and lots of home games. They have the same team. They have the same promotions team, and they can be creative. They can, hey, I've been thinking about this. Let's try this one night. Okay. If it works, great. They can build off of it. If it flops, whoop, nope, trash that one. But yep. Hey, we try. Rodeo, we have two or three nights in a city. Each rodeo has its own promotions team that has some rodeos are one performance. Some rodeos are, you know, Fort Worth 25. So, you know, on average, you got two or three nights to try to come up with ideas for engaging content. And I think sometimes we revert back to Old Faithful just because we know it works. But to your question, having a guy like this come in, he can bring new, fresh ideas of fan engagement and production. And, you know, he can start a question with, hey, I don't know if this will work for rodeo, but at the Super Bowl, we did X, Y, Z.
Right.
And then we can take that discussion and go, yeah, I don't see why we can't try it.
Sure.
So that's what I'm excited about. You know, we've had a couple of conversations with Michael just over the Zoom and stuff, but that's what I'm so excited about when we get there is what can I learn from him from other sports that we can then take to whether it be Waxahachie, Texas, a two-perf rodeo county fair, or Cheyenne Frontier Days. Sure. You know, there's all kinds of different things that could, you know, benefit rodeo in the long run to maybe not affect the sport at all because it's holy. I mean, the sport is traditional cowboy. But the fan experience, we can always be looking for ways to improve that.
You know, it's interesting. I did an interview with a very good friend of yours 2 days ago for my Legends of the Hall podcast this week, Tom Hersig, the CEO of the Cheyenne Frontier Days Rodeo. And Tom used exactly the same phrase, fan experience. You know, talking about how do we make this. To me, that is a major – we are selling arenas out everywhere. Whether it's because of the coverage we've gotten and the exposure on the Cowboy Channel now with Fox Sports, with the American carrying, being carried on Fox Sports, whether it's all of the PBR events on Ride Pass and Pluto TV, whether it's Yellowstone, it's a combination of all of the above, whether it's the fact that we just have a really fun, wholesome sport that I think people want to go to right now. I think that is a big part of it, but, rodeo committee people, if you're listening to this, here is my, I don't get on soapboxes very often. Everything you do, every thought you have, try to equate it to how are we going to make the fan experience better for our ticket buyers so we can continue to sell these things out and continue to have these big loud crowds that are so much fun for people like Garrett and I to talk to. That to me is the one soapbox I would crawl on.
Yep, and I would stand right up there with you. The one question that I ask, not all the time, but often enough, that always invokes a response of, well, I don't know. The question is, does that sell tickets?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you got a committee that, and I'm not going to pick on anyone here in specific, but if you've got a committee that comes up with some wild idea and you as the announcer is like, ooh, I don't know, that's...
We've never done it that way before. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, like that's the question I usually come back with is, okay, how does that sell tickets? And it usually will make them go, well, I don't know. Okay, think about it.
Yeah.
Because if you just, and I'll use this for an example. If you just walk out some random person just to say hi, is that selling tickets? No. But if you come out there with Matt Merritt at Fort Worth and he's got an air gun full of stress balls and he's got them up and dancing and laughing and clapping and waving, you know, waving, sure, looking for that, or Chick-fil-A fan of the night or something like that, that sells tickets.
Right.
Because then that engages the fans to come back and, man, that Fort Worth was so much fun. That clown, he came out there and he shot stress balls at us and he looked for the, you know, there was a little kid dressed up like a Chick-fil-A cow and he gave him 52 sandwiches and a buckle and a stuffed animal. I mean, that's the stuff people talk about. They're not going to talk about, hey, I had to throw you the other night. They walked Steve Kenyon out there. I'm just picking on you, Steve.
I know.
They walked Steve Kenyon out there to say hi. Or Joe Schmo or whoever. I mean, yeah.
Steve Kenyon and Joe Schmo have a lot in common. That's kind of the way, you know.
No, they don't. You know. Steve Kenyon's way more talented. But I mean, that's the thing. I'm with you. I think committees sometimes they – I don't know how to say this correctly. I think, yes, they need to sometimes step back and go, how is this affecting the fan engagement, the fan experience, right, Does it sell tickets? Is it benefiting our rodeo as a whole?
Yeah. Garrett Yerrigan is joining us. This is our Classic Equine Featured Interview of the Week. We're talking about the American Rodeo, which is Saturday. It is American Western Weekend. Do you and Anthony have much to do with Friday night? They started that big night on Friday night with the American Performance Horsemen. I think it's a cool night because you bring the greatest cutters, reiners, and rein cow horses in the world to town. There's a Luke Bryant concert after that. That's at 7 o'clock Friday. Do you guys have much to do with that, or is that just a night to put your feet up and relax?
Night to put our feet up and relax. And I'm so thankful. I would do it in a heartbeat if they wanted me to announce it. But I love watching that event because, as much as I'm a rodeo fan, I think what they do is so cool.
Yeah.
From agility of those horses and – matter of fact, before the NFR this year, I went and watched the celebrity cutting at the NCHA finals in Fort Worth. Just had a night and went over there and watched it. And that was, I was loving that. I mean, of course, those weren't the million-dollar professional stuff. It was, you know, Jen Landon and Forrey Smith and you know, some of those guys from Yellowstone and whatever. But I had a great time with that. So getting to watch this event last year, I told my now fiance, I said, let's just go up in the stand. I had a couple extra tickets. I said, let's just go up in the stands and just watch. Just see, like I said, experience the fan side of things. Let's just go. He's like, okay. So we went to the concession stand, got us something to eat and drink, and just went and sat down. And we had planned on only sitting up there for the opening and maybe 10, 15 minutes. Then we'd go down and see our friends and whatever on the floor. We ended up sitting up there for three quarters of the night just because it was just so good. I mean, it was so engaging and stuff. And again, you've got the five best cutters, reiners, and rein cow horse riders in the world and the best horse flesh. I loved it. So again, I'm glad that we have that night off to just watch. So short answer to your question, Anthony and I have the night off. Jason Jackson will announce that night. And then Anthony and I will be on the mic for Saturday.
Got it. Saturday does start at the start time at AmericanRodeo.com is 3:25 for the opening ceremonies. Garrett rounded it off to 3:30. The doors open at 2. So that's when everything starts on Saturday. It's on Fox Sports Television.
Noon on Saturday, they do all the tailgate outside. There'll be live music starting at noon. So, you know, come early, get parked. Should be, if the weatherman doesn't lie to us, it should be a beautiful day. So yeah, come out early, tailgate with us, get parked early and, come hang out. It'll be worth the day.
You sent me a copy of the notes on the contestant list, and I've just kind of been scrolling through it while we've been doing this interview. I want to talk about the tie down roping for a minute. Nobody on the planet is hotter in pro rodeo right now than Chad Mayfield. Webb is the defending world champion. Shane Hanchey is a former champion at the American. I think he's $1 million eligible this year.
He is. Yep. And won the American in 21.
And there's this guy named Caleb Smith who I could have sworn retired. And he just went to Houston and won two performances in his super series. And he's won the American twice. There's going to be some stories to tell about tie down roping.
Yeah. Caleb, I love Caleb. I am a huge Caleb Schmidt fan.
Yeah.
And not only is he a great human being, but what he has overcame both personally and professionally, that's a guy that's a prime example of when life deals him a curveball, his next at-bat, he's hitting a grand slam.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, from the family tragedies to coming back and winning world titles to, I'll go ahead and say it, kicked out of the NFR in 2020 due to a positive COVID test, comes back and wins the world the next year. The other statistic that I don't think we as announcers have ever talked about enough, maybe you have, he has won the NFR aggregate in the exact same years he's won the world. So you talk about a guy that shows up to Vegas Vegas with one thing on his mind, and that's win. He gets all he can. He's won the NFR every year that he's won the world title.
Yeah, and Ride has always ridden one of the greatest horses ever. He and when they put Caleb in the Hall of Fame, they should put Pockets in the Hall of Fame at that same year.
Amen.
They should both go in at the same time. I was just looking at the bull riding. The bull riding field is kind of interesting this year, Garrett, because You don't have the reigning world champion, Kai Hamilton. You don't have the last three world champions, any of them, in the bull riding field this year. Sage Kimsey's got an injury to his elbow. Stetson Wright is out for however long Stetson's going to be out. Kai says he hopes he can be back around the 4th of July. The door is wide open for some guys. Am I right in putting it that way?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the five guys that are million-dollar eligible, Cody Teal, world champ, you know, he's on a hot streak right now. Matt Palmer, young guy from Northeast Oklahoma. Chase Daugherty, NFR Cowboy, won the aggregate in 18. Jeff Askey, who, I mean, just like Cody Teal, Cody and Jeff are kind of almost becoming the old guys in the locker room. But man, they're still riding as great as ever. Jeff just won his Super Series at Houston. And then Cody Nance. You know, PBR world finalist many times over. He's million-dollar eligible, and he looked phenomenal at Abilene at the contender final. First guy out of the gate was 89 points. So I'd say there's no rust there. And then the other four guys, Jared Parsonage, Creek Young, who got filled in because of Stetson and Kai not being healthy. And then Trey and Josh, obviously Josh, the three-time reserve world champ. So, yeah, I mean, big opportunity for somebody to really make a statement, because think about those facts I just gave you. Nine guys, five of them are million-dollar eligible. So not to sound like Hunger Games here, but may the odds be ever in your favor.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the bareback riding is always – the first 2 years of the American somebody, Richie Champion won the million outright the first year, and then
Bitter Price, wasn't it?
Thank you. Taylor's name was on my tongue 30 seconds ago, and I started talking. I forgot it. Taylor Price won it the next year. He split it that year. What a great way to kick off the rodeo, and somehow those fireworks always happen. What are you looking at in the bareback riding and the saddle bronc riding? Because both of those fields are loaded.
Well, first, let me say this. I don't know if he's going to watch this or not, but I'm going to miss Casey Field at the American. That guy is Mr. American. Mr. Bareback riding, in my opinion, but he always, I don't know what it was about the American that got his blood pumping extra, but he was always just the guy for me to watch, and his energy and just infectious attitude and stuff. He'll be missed. So Casey, if you watch this, I'm gonna miss you this week, buddy. But the bareback riding, I think because that event is just filled with such a sharp young class of guys, I think that's what makes it such a good start. It's obviously a very snappy event. I'm excited to watch, obviously, the reigning world champ, Rocker Steiner, who so far is on path to win every rodeo in Texas this year.
Yeah.
Or at least ones in big arenas and stadiums. One Fort Worth, one San Antonio. So we'll see if he can keep up the Tarrant County, North Texas, Central Texas success. Kate Sonier, he's riding great. The qualifiers, Taylor Broussard, Bradley Miller, Jacob Lees, Cole Reiner, and a two-time American champ, Tilden Hooper.
Yeah.
I think the story there, imagine if 18-year-old Bradley Miller can win $1 million. Like that would mean so much to him and his family. For me, as far as a heartfelt story goes, that would be so awesome.
Yeah, Bradley's dad is college rodeo coach at Sam Houston State, and I agree with you, because I really like Bradley Miller. He is, and he's having a great season. He was good last year in his rookie year, and he's kicked it up another notch this year.
Yeah, horsepower. I talked about this a little bit off air. Calgary Stampede Championship and Frontier Rodeo. You can see there too, lots of NFR animals, lots of great bloodline, lots of graded coconut babies in there, bronc riding, which I don't know if this is where you were going to segue to next, but, the world champion Explosive Skies is in the shootout round of the bronc ride. I'm a huge bronc riding fan anyway. Explosive Skies, Tokyo Bubbles, Exotic Warrior, and Dandy Delight, all Calgary Stampede horses. So I'm just looking at the track record here. Explosive Skies, highest score 94 last year. Tokyo Bubbles, 90.5. Exotic Warrior, 92. Dandy Delight, 92.5. So if we are under 90 in the short round of the bronc riding, shame on those guys.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Do you have the list of, you might have sent it to me and I just haven't scrolled down far enough. Do you have the list of the final four horses in the bareback riding?
Yep. So it is breaking news. So the first two are Frontier, second two are Calgary. Breaking news, went to the NFR last year. Gunfire, world champion bareback horse fair from 22. Calgary's Blastin' Sand went to the NFR last year, and a horse that's just solid, timeless, still a short round horse, Agent Lynx, horse that Tilden's won Fort Worth on. I think Rocker might have won San Antone on, or somebody won San Antone a few years ago. But Jayco split the win at Puyallup last year on that horse. So, just all if you're a bucking horse fan, forget the Cowboys. If you're a bucking horse fan, you need to come Saturday.
Yeah, it's that's always been one of the highlights to me. Just all the years that I've watched the American, put it on the radio, been involved in the TV broadcast before Teton Ridge took it over. It has always been, if you are a fan of great rodeo livestock, this thing has always been one of the premier events just because of that, if for no other reason.
That is all hats off, compliments to Frontier Rodeo. Yeah. Heath Stewart, Gary Nelson, you know, they've been the primary since the inception. Now, obviously, there's been lots of friends come in from Rafter G and Assault for the Million in 2014 to Pickett's to this year championship in Calgary. Smith Pro Rodeos has been there before. Gosh, I think Pete Carr has been there for. I know I'm forgetting somebody, so my apologies. But big kudos to Heath Stewart. Because that guy, I don't know that there is a human on this earth that cares more about having great bucking animals and great time event cattle at a rodeo than that guy. And it showed. I mean, 9-time PRCA contractor of the year the past 9 years in a row. So I know we tease him a lot and love to play jokes back and forth, but super, super good job to Heath Stewart over 11 years now of livestock.
Garrett, I've kept you way longer than I asked you for, and I really appreciate it. Take me to Saturday night. The rodeo is over. The Post Malone concert is going on. And you have a chance, probably for the first time all day, to just sit down and take a deep breath. This is a very, for a rodeo announcer, people think, okay, these guys talk for a living. They don't work that hard. This is a full day. This is a day that, I mean, you're going to be, I'm guessing you're probably going to want to just go sit down someplace for a couple minutes and decompress, because there's a lot that's going to have happened in front of you for the 3 or 4 hours before that.
Yeah, it is. And you're right. People give us a hard time about all you do is talk. All we do is talk, but it's the mental side that is so draining, because you have to be so on your game, paying attention to what's going on in the arena, what implications it has, rules, formats, I mean, tiebreakers, all of the scenarios you have to be on for. And our show is scheduled. So we start the first opening ceremonies at 3:25, 3:30. And we'll go, the long round is scheduled to go until 7. Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry, that's not right. The long round is scheduled to go till 6. Then Aaron Watson plays for 45 minutes. Then we have a little brief buffer there. 7 were scheduled to come with the shootout round, the round of 4. And then 9:00, Post Malone is scheduled.
That's a full day.
So it's a full day. And, you know, I maybe shouldn't have gave all those details, but I'm just being transparent here. I mean, it's a long day. So for Anthony and I, like, that's a hard rodeo to pace yourself at, because you get so excited because it's the greatest of the great, and the animal athletes are great, and the two-lane athletes are great, and you just want to go, 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 go. But he and I have to constantly remind each other, hey, pace yourself.
Yeah.
We got that whole shootout round coming, and that's where the heat's coming.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, for people, you know, for Wayne Brooks and Will Rasmussen that do Salinas, you know, long performance there, I mean, you know, I'm just thinking of long performance rodeos. You know, if you've got one that's 3 hours plus, I mean, you can think, man, that's 3 hours. These guys are in there for 6.5 or whatever, 5.5, whatever it is. And it, you know, granted we have that Aaron Watson break in there, but still, you, like, your mind is what's so exhausted. I mean, physically, I can stand up and go watch the Post Malone or walk back to the hotel or whatever. But it's just that, it's that mental side of it that you just want to go get in a quiet room and just, like you said, the all the stimulation is gone and you can just relax.
There was a question I was going to ask you earlier and I quite frankly forgot to. Are there a couple of, I forget how the American handles this. So, is the markout rule waived, or is there an adjustment on the markout rule? Do they do anything?
So if the rules stay the same as they were in Abilene, there is a markout rule, traditional, got to have them up here or it's a no score. But I believe this is new this year. I don't remember us having done it before. Instant replays are a thing. There are challenges.
Okay.
Because we actually had that at Abilene. I think it was maybe Ross Griffin. There was a Bronc rider that judges said he missed him out. And of course, all those guys, $1 million on the line. Absolutely. You're going to challenge it if you think you had up there. And he went over there, threw the challenge flag, and they reviewed it. Ended up still being a no score, but I mean, hey, worth a shot.
Yeah.
There is a markout rule, but it, amongst other things, are challengeable.
Got it. Okay, there you go. The American Western Weekend is this weekend, Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. Garrett Yarrigan, two-time announcer of the year in the PRCA, and along with Anthony Lucia, one of the voices of the American. And Garrett, Garrett's heard me say this to him in private a bunch of times. I cannot tell you how much I respect this young man's talent, his ability, and how much I value his friendship. And it's been an awesome ride to see how things have gone for you in your life, and for you and Anthony both. You guys have really taken this whole thing by storm. And I'm not supposed to say that because I'm not supposed to brag, but I'm really proud of you. So anyway,
well,
good luck. Enjoy the hell out of it this weekend.
Thank you. Everybody come see us, AmericanRodeo.com. Get your tickets. Come on.
There you go. Get your tickets. If you can't be there, it's on Fox Sports. And you can watch the action this weekend, Saturday afternoon, 3:30 Central time is when it will. 3:30 Central, right?
3:30 Central Saturday. It will not be live on Fox.
Okay.
It will be a delayed broadcast. The round of 10 will air later that night. I'm not going to say the time because I'm not confident, but check your listings. It will be Saturday night. And then the shootout round will air the next weekend on Fox Network. So long round will be on FS1. I'm a Dish customer, so it's channel 150 for me.
Okay.
But then the following weekend, it will air on Fox Network.
Got it.
Like your local Fox channel.
Okay, there you go. You can get all that information at AmericanRodeo.com and find out all about it. Garrett, enjoy the heck out of it. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Steve.
The American Rodeo is Saturday, March 9th, Globe Life Field, Arlington, Texas, AmericanRodeo.com. Thank you to Classic Equine and Classic Ropes, sponsors of this week's featured interview on the Steve Kenyon Podcast, brought to you by Wrangler, by the Justin Boot Company, by ResistAll, thanks to M2 Ranch Jerky and Unbeatable Feeds, and to Prefert, number one in ranch and rodeo. Headed to Las Vegas in December, you got to check out dailymanagementresorts.com, see what the folks at the Grandview have to offer. God bless everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm Steve Kenyon. Please like and subscribe to both the Steve Kenyon Podcast and the Legends of the Hall Podcast at 8secondsmedia.com.